Thank you once again for having me. My name is Dr. Angelina Ferrella. I'm an independent pediatrician from Webster, Texas. I'm the owner of A Brighter Tomorrow Pediatrics. And I am going to be presenting today on weird science, the harm to the public from faking science. I don't know about you, but I feel like I've been living in the twilight zone in the last year and a half or so. There have been so many things that have gone what I would consider wrong in medicine in the last year and a half. The first and worst, honestly, to me, is the breach in the patient-physician relationship. This has come across in so many different ways that it's almost incredulous that we even have to bring this up. From the beginning of the pandemic, we were told to stay home, don't call your doctor, run to CVS and get your nose swabbed. What was that about? You know, everything to bypass your physician, including treatment. And not only that, but there were doctors that closed down their offices and refused to see their patients. And sadly, a year and a half later, even within my own community, we still have doctors that have not opened their doors to inpatient patient treatment. So what caused this problem? As I see it, there were wedges. There were wedges that got between us and our patients. And one of them happened a long time ago. One of them happened with Big Pharma being able to utilize DTC, which is direct to consumer advertising. Saw this many, many years ago, where all of a sudden pharma was able to put commercials onto TV and market their products, bypassing physicians, market their products directly to patients. And we see this as a problem because, you know, and doctors, we kind of, sometimes we joke about it and we say, you know, don't confuse your Google search with my medical diploma. But it happens all the time. It happens every day in our practices. And it doesn't matter if it's pediatrics, if it's neurology, if it's surgery. Patients are going to come in with an advertisement and kind of insist on that therapy sometimes. The other thing that I worry about is medicine from Red Book. This is what I always called Red Book medicine. This is when people get, you know, their information from a non-medical source, whether that is from social media or mainstream media. You know, it used to tickle my fancy when my dad, years and years ago, he would call me and say, oh, did you know, you know those three words, did you know that, you know, such and such therapy is now available? And I would say, yes, Dad, I'm a doctor. And we found that out 10 years ago. I'm glad you saw it on the news, right? Social media, you know, we've been told as physicians for years, you know, in my medical society for years, they actually give us a talk every single year on how we should stay off of social media and how we should, you know, how we can engage with our patients on social media and things of this nature, right? All the warnings to keep physicians off of social media. And it's kind of interesting if you think about it, because if you don't have something to combat opinion with fact, then really what good is it? Because, you know, we know that social media has just invaded our entire landscape now. And, you know, now the cancel culture and the algorithms will skew people to a certain point of view. And we see this. I mean, if you just go onto my social media page at A Brighter Tomorrow Pediatrics on Facebook, I do Walk with a Doc, where I'm walking and talking. It's quite entertaining sometimes, and especially when I come across a snake. And then I also do something called Doc in a Box. And really, it's based on the questions of the week. So usually I get four or five of the same questions at my office, and I'm like, you know what? People want to know. If I'm getting the same question, let me talk about it. And it's just a way to reach more people. Well, early on in the pandemic, people were calling me about the vaccines that were about to come out. And I'm going to say I'm a vaccine expert because I've been vaccinating for 20 plus years. So I think I know a little bit about this particular subject. I don't know. What I found, though, was that at first I didn't realize that what I was saying, it wasn't offensive. It was just information, my medical opinion. This is what I was talking about. But if I said certain words, my video would go into a spin. It cut me off. And one of the words was Pfizer. The other word was GlaxoSmithKline. The other word was Moderna. The other word was vaccine. Recently, because I thought, it's been a year and a half, right? Let's talk about masks. Clunk, shut off. I said the word mask. I got shut off. I said the word Nuremberg. Shut off. So it's happening all the time. And, you know, people say, well, you're still on there. But there's a term, apparently, shadow banned. So apparently they have fact checkers watching my videos and shutting me off if I say certain key words. And I had no idea, because I'm a podunk doc from a podunk town. Like, who cares what I have to say? I think I have 30 followers or something. No, I have a little more than that. But that was something that really threw me off. The other thing is that pharmacies are parading as doctors now. You know, we all know that there's minute clinics in almost every large pharmacy. But what the public doesn't realize is that most of those pharmacies are not doctors in there. There's not doctors that are treating these patients. And you know, I always tell people, please, especially with children, don't go to the minute clinic, because that makes me so nervous, because I end up mopping up such a big mess afterwards. Like, call me instead. But this is one of the problems that we're facing. And I've been yelling about this for over a decade, about these little minute clinics that are inside pharmacies parading as doctor offices. This is not where we should be getting our medical care. Other serious issues that are going now is physician's authority. Now, doctors talk about this all the time. And I think, you know, back in the day, we used to tell people that we can write your prescription on a napkin and it should be honored. And that's a true statement. We could write anything on a napkin, hand it to a patient, that counts as a prescription, and you can go fill that. But now we have other places that are really blocking our authority. I mean, look at the higher learning institutions and schools. They're breaking HIPAA law right now, and it's a horror show. And this is something that we noticed within our own school district, and I went to the school board, and I raised some cane. Because I could, at the beginning of the school year, they were trying to inform the public by letting them know that that a particular student on a particular day, on a particular school team, tested positive. And I literally could have gone to that team, lined up the kids, and picked out probably the child that was reported to 44,000 student families. And I went to the school board and I said, this is a direct violation of HIPAA and you are now liable. And you should be very, very lucky that it wasn't my child that was put into this email. Because my last name would be on your high school. Because of course, I'd call the AFLDS attorneys to help me out with that. But, you know, that's a true statement. The UIL is dictating health policy for outdoor sports activities. Case in point. Football game was going on. I didn't want to stay at the football game. We're not very good. So I was walking outside the stadium to get my steps in. And I wasn't wearing a mask because I was exercising outside in a parking lot where there was nobody really. I got stopped by the sheriff because I stopped to watch the band perform. And he said, you can't stand here. And I literally looked around and I was like, there's nobody here except me and you and your little cart. Like, I don't understand. He says, you don't have a mask on. I said, well, I'm exercising, I'm outside, and last I checked, you're more than 6 feet away from me. He said, well, UIL said. I said, well, who's UIL? I said, the UIL does not have medical authority over me. I'm a physician. Put it in your pipe and smoke it. And he basically turned around and said, have a good night. Like, I actually pulled the card because I don't normally do that, but I did. So, you know, doctor's orders are not being followed. They're not being followed. If we have a bona fide reason for giving a patient a mask exemption, a vax exemption, it is our authority because we know our patient, we understand the risks and the benefits of either way, and it's our authority in that letter that states, my patient can or cannot do this. You need to honor it, bureaucrat. You cannot tell me you're not going to take my patient, the letter from me about my patient. And no, I'm not going to violate HIPAA and tell you why. It's none of your business. And even if you had the information, what are you going to do with it? That's my argument. Even if they, why are they asking for our patients' personal health information when they don't even know what it means? What are they going to do with that information? It's none of their business. And we need to teach our patients to shut up. We really do. We need to teach our patients, please protect your personal private health information, especially our kids. Especially our kids. Our kids are being manipulated every single day, and we need to teach them very fervently. Please, kids, keep a private issue private. They don't understand that. There's these unreasonable directives that exclude sick kids from schools, including their well siblings. You were exposed to a COVID case, so you're in there, but not only are you going to be quarantined, but so is your sibling who wasn't even with you at that same school. You don't have symptoms, nor does that other child have symptoms, but both of you have to be at school for 2 weeks. We have a neighbor behind us. That poor girl got quarantined 4 times this year. She was out of school for 2 months. 2 months. So our kids aren't getting an education. In our school district, there were 525 kids that were quarantined. That is an equivalent of over 5,000 days of education loss. And we pay for that. We need to start stepping up to these schools and telling them this is a farce. Knock it off. The misinformation about how the spread of COVID-19 occurs is just rampant. In our school, our children could not get books. Couldn't get books because did you know that paper spreads COVID? Did you know that? That was the excuse that I got when we asked for a geometry book. My kids didn't qualify for one because COVID is spread by paper. And they cited that it was actually a study. I looked it up because I was like, where did they get this information from? Like, I don't understand. They extrapolated it from a very old study about dirty money. True statement. I looked it up and I'm like, oh yeah, money is filthy. We all know that, right? That's why we don't lick our coins. Hello? And that's why there was a coin shortage. This relates to the coin shortage. Remember that? Remember how we all couldn't use change? Remember? That was from that. The mental health issues are just, they're rising. They're rising in such a way that it's just a horror show. Our kids have anxiety. They have fear. So do our adults. I can't tell you how many of the parents walk into our office and the first thing we tell them is like, if you're okay and if you feel comfortable, we're comfortable, please remove your mask. And I can't tell you how many will not remove their mask. They still come into our office. I'm like, the pandemic was over a long time ago. Herd immunity was actually reached months ago. Let's not talk about that though. It's okay. You're not going to get sick in my office. It's okay. And we have to tell that to our kids as well. Now, harm due to the rush of these experimental vaccines are due to what I would consider two lacks. And the first one is voluntary consent. Involuntary consent is where two necessary and jointly sufficient conditions must be satisfied for an action to be voluntary. The intentionality and the substantial freedom from a controlling influence. Those last two words are very, very important when we're talking about employers. And informed consent. And we've been talking about this. We've been parading it. The information is up there. I'm not going to read it to you. But informed consent really is the clinical consideration that we have as physicians to tell our patients about their treatment or what we propose might be a good option for them. Okay? It's a decision-making process. And informed consent has been lacking very, 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 very much. There is no informed consent. And this is what scares us. How did we get to this point? Well, now here's another way that they're doing this. Age of consent. Did you know that in some states the age of consent is down to 11? 11 years of age. What 11-year-old can consent to medical treatment? I might argue with you that I know 40-year-olds that can't consent to treatment. It's a true statement. So by lowering the legal age of consent, they're bypassing parental control. And they're also bypassing the physician relationship with that patient. And there's also FERPA violations. And FERPA, for those of you, those are adult students, like kids that go off to college, and they're adults, but they allow their parents to have some information, medical information, still within their realm. The obvious scientific playing favorites is just getting to be ridiculous. There, I think all of us in this room and beyond, even at home, we know the pressure, the extreme pressure just to get vaccinated is ridiculous. We can't turn on a TV. We cannot turn on the radio. We can't drive down the road without a billboard. Get the shot of hope, they say. This is just... I've never seen such a push for vaccination ever in my life, but especially in my medical career. You know, and what about the privileges if you comply? Did you know that if you comply with this, you might get 4-year scholarship to your college of choice? You might win $1 million. Heck, you might get some burgers and fries. You might get a donut every day for the rest of the year. Did you see doctors parading donuts? Did anyone see these ridiculous things? Doctors who were like pushing the vaccine saying you can get a Krispy Kreme every single day. Isn't that awesome? Okay, what's our leading cause of problems in this country? I don't know, something called diabetes, right? Cardiovascular disease? I don't know. Let's eat a donut every day. Good idea. And what happens with this is that it causes distrust in the entire system. So now the public doesn't know who to trust, who to go to, who to talk to, which basically to me, this is coercion. Clear and simple. The Hippocratic Oath told me from the beginning, first, do no harm. Do no harm. I swore to that and I took it to heart. Maybe some other people haven't in our profession, but this is something that is so near and dear to me. The vaccines are given, vaccines are given to stimulate the natural immune system to protect you from a potential high risk morbidity or mortality if infected with that particular organism. That is the whole idea behind vaccination. It's not a terrible idea, honestly. But when you're talking about pediatrics, you're talking about safety and efficacy. I mean, I am a safety freak. I was even a safety car seat technician. You want to see a wackadoodle? Check out your car seat. Have me as your car seat technician. I was a lunatic about how it was put in your car, how you put your child into that car seat, because I am a safety freak. As a pediatrician, I know that the leading cause of death in the country every single year in pediatrics is what? Accidents, unintentional injury. Over 14,000 kids died in 2019 from unintentional injury. I'm a safety freak. If this vaccine raises flags to this safety freak, it should raise flags to everybody. This is not hard to see. It also is the cornerstone of ethics. If we think it does any little bit of harm, it is an ethical decision on our part to stand forth and tell our patient, this might not be such a great idea. And that's part of what? Informed consent. So pediatric vaccines in the past were vigorously tested for safety and efficacy for no less than 1, but usually up to 8 years. Usually. And even then, this doc right here would wait a few years for it to be on the market, because you just never know. So I waited. Bexsero came out on the market. I didn't put it in my office right away. I waited a few years to wait and see what the safety and efficacy was. Same thing with other things. I just waited. How many people buy a car in the first year that it's put out off the press, right? Like almost nobody. Well, there's a few of you, but not too many, right? Most of us wait to see if that new version really pans out. Why not with this vaccine? This is what just boggles my mind. I just don't understand. That's not a vaccine. Let's be very, very clear. So risk versus benefit is not apparent. Even if you look at the cold, hard, just regular numbers, you don't have to be a statistician, you don't have to be a doctor to understand this. If you look at the rough numbers, because I like to look at things just like, I talk to people like to make you understand as if we were in kindergarten. Like this is real basic. I try to stay real basic and not complicate things. But the rough numbers showed very early, even Pfizer's own data. To me, I'm looking at it, I'm like, there is no efficacy. Where are they getting this 95% thing? I don't get it. I don't get it. And I saw through that immediately. Now, let me tell you, I'm a pediatrician. I'm a clinician. I see 20 to 25 patients per day on a not so busy day. And I don't read journals a lot. Skim things, right? In the last year and a half, every single physician in this room probably read more journals in the last year and a half than they have in their entire career. So true statement. So let me tell you something. Pediatricians are even worse. So, but I dug because I'm an advocate for children. I wanted to make sure things were safe. I wanted these kids that if a child walked in my office sick with this virus, I wanted to be armed to the teeth to treat that patient to the best of my ability so that that kid grew up to its full potential. That's just me. Doing nothing is doing harm. I could not understand it. My brain could not wrap around how doctors could be okay with locking their doors to their patients, not answering the phone. So this pediatrician ended up being a geriatrician. And so I opened the doors to anyone that knocked. Because in my core being, I said, I have to treat you because that's what we do. That's what I signed up for. That's why I'm a doctor. You know, when I'm seeing informed consent being disregarded, patient-physician relationships being destroyed, this is horrible. This is a nightmare. This is not medicine. People under 25 years of age have a mortality rate of 0.55%. That's like nothing. Under 25, nothing. Adverse events from COVID-19 in young people under 20, Adverse events from COVID-19 in young people under 25 years of age. These are just some of the things that I'm hearing anecdotally. I don't have to look at VARs. I'm hearing this in my community. Unusual neurologic events, myoclonia, seizures, movement disorders, blood clots. One of my moms, I took care of her three kids. One of my moms, her father called me. She was in the ICU. She coded in the ICU. She's 37 years old. She decided to go out and get this vaccine. She coded. That's not normal. She had three children. We would have known she had a bleeding disorder. This is not normal, people. You're hearing this all the time. Myocarditis and pericarditis in children. This one makes my skin crawl. It has been reported that over 2,400 usually males, young males, have had myocarditis and pericarditis. And when you're listening to the ACIP, which is the Committee for Immunization Practices, these people poo-pooed this. They said, oh, it's mild. 561 kids under the age of 19 are now dealing with heart disease that never had a heart condition or a health issue before, and it's directly related to this genetically nightmared vaccine. This is lifelong consequence. This is not mild. And for these people to sit around and talk to each other and joke around, one of the doctors didn't even stay for the entire conference who's on the committee because he had patients to see. He didn't even cancel the day of his patient for this big emergency meeting. It wasn't important enough. He got up and walked out. And I don't understand why we're standing for this. You know, it exceeds the CDC and FDA thresholds. Look at what Dr. Cole presented earlier. Shelley Cole showed you. that was a single digit threshold, and now we're in triple digits, and they're not doing anything about it. Future health risks: cancer, fertility, autoimmune disease, respiratory issues, cardiovascular disease. All this stuff exceeds the thresholds. Is there any harm in waiting? I think not. Thank you very much.